Brandon, and welcome to Unlimited Life. I am so excited and so elated for today's show and today's guest. Today we are talking about the elite path of mastery. I can't imagine in talking about Unlimited Life a better journey to be able to explore the unfoldment of what that looks like to have an elite path of mastery. And today we are talking with acclaimed Soki Grandmaster Dave Johnson. And Dave is incredible. I can't wait to share all that he has been doing. He has been on this journey in the martial arts world since 1959. So for over five decades, he has studied more than a dozen styles of martial arts. He has been inducted into the Martial Arts Hall of Fame as a master instructor, as a grandmaster instructor. He's been inducted into the Action Martial Arts Hall of Fame. His journey has been unbelievable. He has served on city councils. He is a gold medal winner. He has received five citations from the State Senate of Legislature. He was recognized as a Businessman of the Year. He has appeared in 11 films, and he was even on the cover of Inside Taekwondo magazine. And he has also been on three of the Ultimate Combat trading cards. The diversity of his talent, the way that he shares his wisdom and skill and knowledge and helps so many community programs, school programs, and martial arts instructors, teachers, and participants around the world. So I am thrilled for today's show, and with a huge welcome to Dave Johnson, our Grandmaster. Dave, welcome to the show today.
Hello, and I'm great and glad to be here, honored to be here, excited to be here.
It is such a joy to have you here. It truly is. And so one of my favorite questions to ask people is to take them back, to ask when you were 5 or 6 or 7 years old, and the did you know? I had the Chief Brian Cummings, who was the head of the Los Angeles Fire Department, and I asked him, did you know when you were a little boy that you wanted to be the chief of the fire department? He said, no, I wanted to be an astronaut. He said, the only reason I wanted to go into the fire station was to ride the truck. And so for you, was this part of your journey, the martial arts world and the action world and all that you do, was that part of your childhood and life?
Kind of, you know, at that stage, in 1959, I was about 4.5 years old, and of course I had a Superman suit, and we used to try to jump off the roof of the house, and I had my Lone Ranger outfit with the whole blue thing and the gun and everything, so Batman was big back in those days, so that goes way back, and so I guess I had that kind of excitement of doing great, amazing things like these great heroes that we saw on TV, so some of that's true. I didn't see me where I'd be today. I think I've always had a sense that there was something exciting ahead, and I had the desire to do really great things. I just didn't know what that was going to be.
Wow. I remember you sharing a story with me about your childhood and how that you would just like sit on the mat and have to stay still or watch. Can you share that? Because that, to me, just opened my heart that you would be able to see something and from that be able to, years later, step into that.
Well, yeah, you know, some of the older instructors and masters and grandmasters from years ago, you know, decades back, that the old school way of teaching was so beautiful. And some of it's still here. It's harder to find. It's getting more and more commercialized. But the beauty about those days is that the instructor wouldn't talk as much as they do today. Students don't talk as much as they didn't talk as much as they do today. In other words, the instructor, you were taught to really focus upon him, how he moved, how his posture was, how he actually talked, how he spoke the words he spoke. I mean, you just absorbed every bit of his movement, existence, expressions, and he taught us to just observe that. And by learning to do that, you actually grasp more out of what he's trying to teach. And you can pick it up a little bit better. It gets a little bit deeper ingrained instead of saying, step right, lift your left hand, do that. I mean, it's better to watch a master or grandmaster in front of you physically do those things and speak little. You can gain a lot more from it.
That's amazing. And you use the term master and grandmaster. And for those that are new to the martial arts world or new to this arena or this forum or this verbiage, because I know that you were inducted back in 1996 as a Master Instructor of the Year by the Martial Arts Hall of Fame, and then again in 2012 as a Grandmaster of the Year. And I know that you've received Pioneer Awards, and you actually, and I want to talk to you, that you developed the very first complete online martial arts training, which to me is amazing, and I would love to get into that. But I know in 2013, you also were inducted into the Action Martial Arts Hall of Fame. So what is the difference between a master and a grandmaster?
Well, first up, every system is different. So every style of martial arts has its own makeup, its own structure, depending on that system or where it is in the world, you know. Some systems don't even use the term master or grandmaster. Some use sensei or shifu and so forth. But generally, a master in most realms, in most systems, is about a fifth-degree black belt normally. And then a grandmaster would be, at the lowest, maybe be seventh, and then eighth, ninth, and usually tenth or the top of a system or an honorary degree. But for the most part, from 7th to 10th is your grandmaster section. And those people have to have around 50 years or more to be in that area. And a master, geez, a master should have, I don't know, 25, 30 years in before they get kind of in that ranking too. So there's a lot of little confusion because everybody does systems differently. So it is a little confusing. Like you'll see a master maybe doesn't look their right age, but I don't know what system's doing that or what name that system is. So you just have to do your research. But generally, that's the rule of thumb.
That's incredible. I mean, just 25, 50 years in the business. And I look at your history, which is unbelievable. I mean, that you've studied more than a dozen styles of martial arts, and you've now created a style and form that combines these martial arts. And so I want to talk about that. And first, I just want to go back to your online program, because what even was the impetus to be able to say, I want to put something out there for the world? And when I read about it, it doesn't say that you have an online program. It says that you have developed the first, most complete online program used internationally in all these countries. And so what was the spark to say, okay, now I'm going to take this to a new level of technology?
Well, it was really an interesting combination of things, and I really do believe that things are meant to be and things are lined up just the way they're supposed to be at the right moment. That, this is a great example. In the mid-90s, I was pursuing a global master's in business administration. It was one of the first at that time to be a global MBA. It was a very big program. So in the midst of that, we had to develop stuff and create websites, and you know, I was specializing in e-commerce back in those days. And when I had to do my capstone project or my thesis for my MBA, you know, you have to come up with a theory or an idea or something to do this on. And I thought, what do I have the most knowledge in? Martial arts. What could I do with it? And I thought, I put it together, well, I'm studying about how to connect the world, how the computers are connecting the world. Remember, even though it sounds like mid-90s to 2000, not that long ago, if you go back that far, we were really just entering the digital era with computers and so forth. We're so advanced now, but even back then, we were connected worldwide to a certain extent. And what I found was, I asked myself, there's a lot of people that I've crossed paths with that have said to me many, many times, like, gee, I wish I could train. I've always wanted to get a black belt, or I always wanted to learn martial arts or self-defense, but there's not a school by me, or I can't afford it, or it takes so much time and I can only go on these days. I've heard those so many times over the years. I thought, wow, we have the technology. Why don't we build a school online that has class by class, one level to the next level, and you can't go to the next level until you've proven proficiency in the techniques in this particular level. And it was very difficult. I went through a good handful of companies that said they could do it, and they gave up because no one had ever done it before. So I finally found a company that figured out how to break up these little cells into classes. It was very difficult. They had never done it. They pioneered the technology themselves upon doing this. So we put this together. It's exciting. We launched it around 2000, and I was able to reach people from all over the world to say, wow, I don't even have to leave my house. I can log on 24 hours a day, anytime I want, train in these videos that you've done per section, and back it up and play it 1,000 times and get good at it, and then send DVDs or send me a video online. There's so much technology now. And ask me for my feedback, what I need to work on, and so forth. And that's how it took off. That's how the whole idea took off. Pretty amazing.
That's incredible. I mean, what a welcoming idea for people, like you're saying, who've always wanted to be part of this work and couldn't afford it or figure out how to get there or to be there. And everybody has a different reason for, I mean, it's such a beautiful sport. And we talk about defense, and we talk about the competition, and we talk about the beauty and the art and the mastery of the physical form. And so for whatever reason, the spark in someone's heart that they can listen to that calling and they can go online and be part of this, I think is just incredible.
What's some exciting things that came out I didn't think about when people started signing up. One thing I thought was really cool is I had family signing up. I had fathers calling, is it okay if my son and my wife and everybody can watch this? They're paying $20 a month. It was really ridiculously cheap. I did that to make sure there was no excuses for people anymore. And I'd say, yes, bring the whole family on. So next thing you know, I have families. And then I had church. I actually had churches, several in the Midwest, actually run one day a week online, put the computer up, and the whole congregation, the kids, the parents, it was amazing. I thought, wow, I would have never expected that to happen. And that was like blessing on top of blessing. You can't put money on that. That's a priceless experience.
That's so fantastic. I mean, just amazing energy. I love the idea of a whole church group or a family. You could see the little kids and the father and the grandfather and everybody doing this together. I mean, that would just be such a great commercial for, like, you know, Benetton or something, bringing life together. It's just wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And then you continue this creative mind, and you moved into a world that I'm absolutely fascinated with, called Saedo. Can you talk about that?
Well, yeah, and Saedo just, you know, it kind of began as a creation in my mind back in the early 80s. Trying to put together a better system that was a little bit more efficient, trying not to lose too much of the good traditional qualities of martial arts. But I found that I was a law enforcement officer, so coming from the law enforcement field, and I used to do executive protection work with celebrities and do bodyguard stuff, what I found was a lot of what was taught in the commercial type setting was never going to be used. And I thought, wow, we'd spend thousands of hours on all this stuff that would never be used. That's a problem. So there's got to be a better way. So that's how Saedo kind of started in my mind. And then over the years, I just kept adding pieces and taking things out, testing things and finding things that didn't work. I didn't find that would work efficiently enough on the street, taking that out, adding more things, testing techniques that I developed, to where we are today. And with the online system and the development of Saedo, by itself, it kind of just blossomed internationally. People started contacting from different countries and becoming friends, and then I would go to their country, and then I would do seminars, and now they run the system in their school, and then it's another country, and we just go on and on and on, and it just took off by itself.
Just amazing. Now, you actually have camps for Saedo,
yes.
And I read somewhere that right now you have camps in 7 different countries.
Right now, yeah.
That's incredible. And so tell me about the camps, because just like the online, what a great way for people to go to learn this system in a short period of time or an effective way without, you know, taking years or having to take off work or whatever that is, or get from school to see the system, to be able to go to the camp just sounds like a fabulous way to be able to master this art.
Right. The camp, that's another concept that just for whatever reason it made sense to me to, again, everybody's busy and everybody's in different locations. How can we do this to get a lot of this material to this, to the point where it's really learned well, to where they can really do the material? And I figured about, we tested it out and it came up to about 4 days. We started about 10 years ago, and we do them very carefully. We're really careful where we locate them and who's going to run them. And I've been to every camp out of 12. This will be the 12th, except two. Two have actually ran without me. And the last one was camp number 11 in Germany just a couple weekends ago. That ran in Germany without me, with director Paul Vihaler out of Germany that runs the German system and the European system of SAEDO for me. It's done an amazing job in Europe. But the camp, you know, it's pretty intense. It's 4 days. We start at early in the morning for breakfast and stuff, say 7 o'clock, but we start training about 9, and we go to bed normally between 10 and 11 at night. So you'll have a lunch break and an evening break, but it's very intense training because we're trying to cover hundreds of techniques. Even though it sounds like a lot, if you look at a complete system, it's a fraction of a complete system. And again, it only puts in there what you need. So in a camp in 4 days, you can actually come out very proficient in learning distance skills, how to measure your distance, how to move in, move away, move left, move right, how to execute all the particular strikes, blocks, and kicks, how to execute all the really effective joint lock techniques, how to escape from every type of hold. You can, you will learn multiple opponent defense strategies. If you've got 2, 3, 4, 5 people coming at you, attacking you, you will learn how to disarm weapons. You will learn how to take care of yourself on the ground, how to survive, and how to end the fight on the ground. And most of the stuff is done within 3 seconds. And that sounds hard to believe for most people until they see it. But the whole system is built around that premise, that you have got to be effective and really good at your skills so that if a real serious attack comes at you, you should annihilate that attack, stop that attack, disable that attack within 3 seconds. And if you learn these techniques, you can easily do that. And it doesn't matter if you're a woman, man, teenager, and so forth. The techniques, like we say, the technique is king. It's not the person, not the big muscles, not the youth. It's technique. Who's mastered the technique? The technique is king. The technique will always win.
When you're talking about that technique, I know that you are recognized worldwide as one of the foremost experts in unarmed self-defense. And so what does that mean? That you're saying in 3 seconds that anybody can defend themselves wherever they are from any vulnerable position or place?
Right. If you have, given a scenario, every scenario is different. So every situation is going to require a different reaction on your part. Sometimes you need to run. You know, sometimes you just need to run away. Sometimes you need to say, some people put, you don't want to put it in a little small box and say, like, if someone gets mad at me or steps in front of me, I'm going to do this. You have to keep an open mind, and that's where training on a continual basis, I can't overstate that you have to continue to train, because if you don't, you're going to put yourself in a little box and you'll react inappropriately, get yourself in trouble, hurt someone that maybe you shouldn't have hurt. But within 3 seconds, you've got to make a decision. And if it's life and death or serious bodily injury to yourself, you can, with these techniques you're taught, stop the attack, disable the opponent, and do whatever it takes. But it's very, very serious. It's a high-level, serious-type training system. It's not traditional. It's not like a sparring match or a karate match in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that SAEDO, I was reading, is used now for law enforcement. It's like highly in demand for security, for military personnel, and as you were sharing, executive production specialists, which you might want to share with our audience what that is. But so do people call you from the police force, or how does it work that they recognize now that this is a better way to be able to handle situations?
Well, I think it started out just word of mouth and still doing that. I had students with me that trained with me in the 80s and 90s. They ended up in Iraq years ago and Desert Storm and all the other stuff we've had over there. And I've had them, while they've been there over the years, started teaching Iraqi and Pakistani police force, SAIDO, which was, I thought was hilarious. They call me and tell me that's what they're doing because they found out their skill level of law enforcement security people were way down. So they started showing them SAIDO, and they're like, wow, this is great stuff. So it kind of started there, too. But over time, it's just a word-of-mouth thing that's happened. Every time I go to a different country, it seems like another department, or another state, or a governor, or a mayor, or somebody in charge of a municipality will call me and ask me to come teach at this, maybe the state training center, where they teach particular law enforcement officials or security officials how to handle people more effectively. And there's just a need out there. I didn't know it was there until I started traveling, but I found that there is a big need for people to learn these hands-on skills. And more importantly than ever, I see it in our country. We see stuff on the news and that sometimes officers have to make split decisions if we don't realize, most people don't unless they've worked in that field, how difficult that is to make a decision in half a second. And it could haunt you the rest of your life. It's very difficult. I have so much admiration for our officers out there on the streets everywhere because it's a tough job to do. But what we're trying to do and what we've been bringing to them is more hands-on control techniques, so it's not so much striking anymore. You don't need to hit someone with a stick or the last resort of, you know, taking out a firearm or something. There's so much you can do if you're trained well in control techniques. It could take care of a lot of problems we have all over the world if we just get better and better and better using control techniques. You can affect pain with these techniques, but there's no lasting injury, which is really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. And so when you think about sports, you think about wrestling or gymnastics or swimming or dance or tennis, whatever the, you know, sport that would cross your mind when you jump to basketball or hockey, do you need a particular body type to be able to perform SAIDO properly?
No, not at all. In fact, I love to share the story. About 2 years ago, we did a realtor safety seminar for realtors all over the place, and the majority that showed up were women. That's just the way the market is. Even though I'm a real estate broker, I've been licensed for 41 years. I've been in the field. I love the field. I know the field. My father was in the field, so I kind of come from that world of real estate people too. And we put on these seminars, and I had a lady that was in her mid-80s. And she looked good for mid-80s, but she's mid-80s. And she was very quiet. She took the whole seminar. We went 4 hours, took a lunch break, and did another four. It was a huge, long day, 8 hours. By the end of the day, we have guys in full padded suits come at them, and they have to make split decisions on how to attack them and how to get out of particular holds. This lady comes out. It's her turn. Quiet as could be, lovely lady. This guy grabs her from the back, and he's 6'1". Does a bear hug on her, and she's a frail little lady. She screams so loud and decked this guy, dropped and did a particular throw that I teach them in the camps. She threw this guy over, and the whole place was dead silence. It was amazing. And that, if I wish I could have filmed that, because that's a great example. It's like, here, there's no excuse for anybody to give me, I'm old, I'm young, I'm small, I'm overweight, whatever. It's technique. If you learn the technique and you have the understanding that you got to make a decision, especially I teach law enforcement and women and nurses and so forth, that if your life's in danger, your physical well-being is in danger, you have to make a decision really, really quick to take serious, aggressive action. If you don't, that could be it. And she did that. She made that decision, and she went 100% out, and it was amazing.
That's such a great story. Mm-hmm. And so I love that she was in her 80s and she was this frail old woman. And so that brings me to my next question, which is kids. Because in today's world, we have so much bullying. It's when you think about what these poor children go through when people write online nasty things about them, or everything is so public today, as well as the physical violence, or kids that are being picked up for gangs, or whatever that is, or the drug push today. And so what would you say to people that have children out there that are interested in the martial arts or wondering if this is the right path for their child?
And I get that question actually a lot, and over the years I've heard that question a lot. It's a great question. What I've found is that it's getting better, but for the most part, the general population, when you say martial arts or karate or whatever you want to call it, they will think of violence. They think of fighting. And it's unfortunate. We've had to continue and continue to try to educate the populace out there, but it's absolutely the opposite. And I could tell you a story I won't go into, but the bottom line is there's several stories I could tell you where kids have come in with anger problems. They've been violent in the past, and the parents don't know what to do, and I tell them, give them to me, and they're thinking, no, why would I give them to you? They're going to turn out to be a fighter. Then they'll be even worse. And in every one of these, in every one of these cases, these kids have been turned flip-flopped 180. They're the most quietest, respectful, straight-A student, end up being honors. I've got kids that have gone to Naval Academy. I could tell you so many stories of people like that that have been through my schools that had, they were headed for gangs and they were headed to prison. They didn't have a father, for example. But they get into martial arts and it changes their life. When it comes to other sports, for example, everybody have asked me many times, like, well, should they do this or should they do that? I think you should let your kids do what they really want to do and think, you know, what they really enjoy to do, whether it's basketball, water polo, soccer, whatever. If they love it, they're happy, they're having fun, they're healthy, they're active, support them and let them do it. However, if there's any way you can get them in martial arts, I would highly recommend you put them in martial arts. In a good, reputable school, do your research. Do your due diligence. Research your instructors out, please, because there's a lot of schools that might do damage, you know, that just don't teach the right way. Go and observe a class. Sit in there for a while. Make sure you get to know the instructor and the format, how that school is run, so that you know what's going to be given to your student and how they're going to develop your child. But by doing that, I've always said, if you could start a child at about 3 or 4 or 5, put them in martial arts and let them do every other sport in the book, they're going to excel in every other sport. They're going to excel in school. They're going to excel in life. I have no doubt in my mind, because I've done this, I've been involved my whole life, I can say that I see people, kids that have been martial arts when they're younger, turn out to be amazing people as they get older, because they've learned to respect teachers and law enforcement and government leaders and employers. I mean, they listen when they're supposed to listen. They do their job. They're dependable. They do what they say they're going to do. They're honest. They're caring. They're giving. All that stuff comes from a good martial arts teacher. It gets instilled in them, and now you have a whole better society. Believe it or not, right through martial arts.
Wow, this is just brilliant. And you started, I believe, in your own state, a high school martial arts program.
Right. Yeah, back in the 80s, we it was very difficult. Again, back to that thing I said earlier, it was tough because I had a lot of leadership in schools, kind of the school development or the government, the members of the school, thinking, oh, that would be bad to teach our students how to fight. And I kept thinking, it's not teaching them how to fight. It's teaching them how to live. It's teaching them how to become a better person. And it's teaching them skills to defend themselves and to protect themselves so that they never will fight, because they'll project such confidence when they walk and when they talk. And that is a fact. If you teach someone good martial arts skills, and I'm living proof, I was always smaller going through school, and I've had all my share of bullies kind of come up to me and try to start something, and it's hard to explain to people, but I remember so many incidences where I just looked straight at them and said what I needed to say, and I never got in a fight, and no one ever hit me.
That's just so genius. And so that brings me to the title of today's show, which is The Elite Path of Mastery. So what does that mean, The Elite Path of Mastery?
Well, as I learned, you know, as I was learning and still learning in martial arts, you're learning skills. The more, you know, a lot of people, including myself, when you go into martial arts, you go into it as maybe I want to learn how to fight, or maybe I want to defend myself or win a trophy or go to a tournament and whatever, for whatever reason. A lot of people go into it for a lot of those reasons. But if you stay in it for many years, like I have, you start realizing that it's much more than just punching and kicking and blocking and so forth. It starts to become a lifestyle because, like I was just talking about, within the skills that you're learning, you're actually learning personal development, how to set goals and how to achieve them, you know, how to learn to develop patience in things in life, because we're all going to be challenged with things that you just, things are not working right. There's so many aspects that martial arts will develop within you that it is just a continual path. And that's what I learned years ago. I started realizing, you know what, I'm not done. I could get, you know, a bazillionth degree black belt and be the super grand master of the world. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because I still wouldn't be done learning. I have so much to learn. I have no doubt in my mind that I'll be learning all my life until I pass away. Yeah.
Now, how does somebody get involved in one of the camps? How does somebody, you know, do this program online, or do you have camps that are coming up that people can participate in? Because I just love the idea, and I've got a topper question on that, was that if you have already studied or mastered Taekwondo or Judo or another form of martial arts, is this still something that you should step into in a world that would embrace you and elevate the skills that you currently have?
Absolutely. I'll answer both those questions. The first question is just keep in touch with me. Best way is to stay in touch through Facebook, because that just seems to be the social medium right now that I utilize the most, because I'm so busy and most of us are, to where I can make one post and hit 1,000 people in one post, so I don't have to text, call, email 1,000 people. So Facebook is just a genius idea for me personally. A lot of people don't like it, but it worked wonderful for me. So if you can stay through Facebook, find me on Facebook, Soke Dave Johnson. Stay in touch with me there. You'll see what's happening all the way around the world. There's a lot of stuff happening every week. It seems like things are changing. You can also go to the website, seieido.org, which is S-E-I-E-I-D-O.org, and we'll give that later. But that gives you information on what's going on with the Hall of Fame and the camps and so forth, too. I also have another website, not to give you too much information, but it's just easy, though. It's masterjohnson.com. Very easy to memorize that one. Now, as far as this other styles, and if you're a master or black belt and every other style, it doesn't matter. This camp is absolutely really good for you guys. And again, I developed it based on, okay, I have all these years of martial arts, and I can do all these great things, and I love all the stuff I know, yada, yada. But how can I really hone my skills? And that's part of the way I develop the camps, is to hone in on particular skills, like really zoom in on them and get at all these skills and throw away the fluff so that you really get something out of it in 4 days. And that's what we've been doing for years. And this camp is no different. In October 9th through the 12th, the four-day camp here right leading up to the Hall of Fame event in Fresno, we've got people from all over the world, Europe, South America, Canada, United States, coming in, and they're all different ranks, masters, grandmasters, and all different styles are going to be in this camp all together, which on top of itself is just like, to me, a dream come true. How cool is that, to work with people from all over different parts of the world and different styles, but we all have a common goal? And it's very loving. That come out of these camps can tell you that it's like such a bonding experience. You develop a family of brothers and sisters around the world in 4 days, and it'll never be different. You'll never be the same. It'll change your life.
That's just fantastic. I'm sure people are running, racing. For those of you that are writing feverishly right now about Master Dave Johnson, Saito, SEIEIDO.org, and how to go to the camp, if you just send a text message to 55678, and the message is Nicole, so really easy, just text 55678, the message is Nicole, you can get a copy of today's show, and you can listen to this information over and over again, because it really is brilliant. And when I look at your background, I mean, even reading that you graduated from Harvard Bodyguard School, number one in your class, which is phenomenal. You're a gold medalist, you're a silver medalist, you're a 10th degree black belt. And so the knowledge and the wisdom that you carry with you, it's unbelievable that you take the time to share with people that are just learning how to step into this world.
You know, if you think about it, really, you can accomplish all these things and get all kinds of awards and medals, but if you don't do anything with it, what good is it? Just think about it. So you can get medals and college degrees and all that stuff, but boy, if you don't do anything with it, that's kind of foolish. So that's the reward. That's where the reward comes. You know, it's for a brief moment, it's wonderful to get accolades and stuff and plaques and medals and whatever. It's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with it. I think everybody should enjoy those moments. But it does not compare to when you can take what you've learned and share it to people from all over the world year after year, and you start realizing there's thousands of people's lives you're touching, you're improving. You can't even compare that to a medal or anything else.
Mm-hmm. You're such an amazing man. You really are. And I know that you're such an incredible humanitarian as well. And I was reading that you served as a city crime committee chairman, and that you worked with the Police Science Institute. What is the Police Science Institute? I just like saying that. It just sounds so interesting. I feel like I'm in a spy movie.
Yeah, well, maybe I can't tell you too much information about it. No. The Police Science Institute is a center here in Fresno, California. It's a really amazing facility. It has one whole section of range, which is an indoor top of the line, classiest location, beautiful building, place where you can go in and, you know, train with firearms, and they have a different type of range for tactical training for all kinds of upper scale weapons. And then they also have a different segment to it that teaches security officers, and then it has another section that teaches executive protection, you know, the bodyguard type stuff, which I help do that. I used to teach, you know, the security stuff. I've taught a lot of firearms training, but then lately, over the years, I've just specialized in the executive protection more than anything else, to teach people how to become, you know, how to get into that field and how to become a bodyguard, which most people in public say bodyguard because that's just a common term, but an executive protection specialist is, I guess it would be more like a person with a master's degree, you know, from college compared to a high school graduate, which would be a bodyguard. Because a bodyguard is typically, in the professional world out there, bodyguards are really, we would consider a bodyguard someone that you see, a large, big figure standing in front of a celebrity or somebody that, you know, they're trying to protect, a principal. That's what they call the principal. Whoever you're protecting, they're called a principal. So they're protecting the principal, usually see a large guy. The actual executive protection specialist, you'll never see them. They're like invisible. They're like ninjas. That's what I've done for years, and I love teaching that stuff. It's like I blend into the crowd. You don't even know I'm there. I don't stand out because I'm not gigantic, which is great. So I just, people that size work out to be great executive protection specialists. But those are the brains behind the operation. They do the advanced, what they call advanced threat assessment. They do the advanced work. Where are we going? What are we going to do? What building? How are we traveling? What route? And then they build contingencies. Okay, if something happens, where's our secondary route? Where's all the emergency facilities? What kind of food is being served? Who's serving it? Where's it goes on and on and on and on and on. That's an executive protection specialist.
It's so much, and it's just so incredibly exciting and so intriguing. It really is. It's like, wow, wow, okay, more wow. Mm-hmm. And then I know that also that you were the head of the Impact Weapons and Weaponless Defense Institute. So is that along the same line?
Well, yeah, that's what I did, mainly with, you know, I did privately by myself because I have a company called Tactical Security International, which I teach all the security-type training with impact weapons, with the different types of baton, from riot baton, short, really short sticks to the expandable batons and so forth, as well as then the weaponless defense, which would be your hand-to-hand close-quarter skills that we teach mainly to law enforcement. but I've done that for years for the Police Science Institute, but the last between 7 to 10 years, I've only been able to teach executive protection for that industry. I don't have any more time to do anything else. I'm teaching SAIDO everywhere, but I love the executive protection field. In fact, I just had a call yesterday, and I'm waiting for, we did a conference call. Now next week we're going to do a meeting with a very, very large medical center. And these are for the presidents and the vice presidents. They want me to build an executive protection program for this hospital, this medical center, and tell them how to run it, how many officers we need, and how they're supposed to wear clothes, and I mean how they're supposed to dress. Do we need cars? I mean, everything. This is what I was talking about. It's going to be very, very in-depth study, and I'm going to do an analysis and do a consulting job just for this medical center. So I'm excited to do that. I love doing stuff like that.
That's fantastic. This is so much fun to be able to do that. And when you talk about weapons, you know, the short sticks, the long sticks, because I know that people have loads of questions about weapons. And when people go to the camps, are they also learning weapons?
No, not in the camp. They'll learn how to disarm weapons, but they won't be learning. In the 4-day, we don't do any type of training on weapons. There are extended courses, like if they'll do a camp and they have to graduate from the basic camps to do that, they can schedule time with me, and I'll train them tactical firearm shooting if they need to. If they want to learn that stuff a little bit more, I can teach them that. And then I've had people go through the camp that then want to go into the executive protection field, and I've actually helped them graduate from a course, and I've been their mentor, and I've taught them in the course, and so I can assist them after the camp to go a little bit further if they want to.
Mm. Now, I believe in the camp that you have coming up, though, you have a legal weapon, cane work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really exciting. You know, I've done these camps for many, many years, and I've been talking about bringing specialists in, but I needed to do the camp for several years to build our base and to really get it gelling correctly. But this is the first camp where we finally are going to bring in a specialist, and I'm going to do that next year as well. I've already got another specialist lined up, and it's just a surprise, so I'm not going to announce it until after this one. But this year, we have the world-renowned cane master, Mark Shuey. He's been on every show and newspaper there is, but he's the guy. He's the main guy, Mark Shuey, the cane master. And it's beautiful because the cane is the only real legal weapon worldwide. You can carry it on the plane. You can go all around the world because it's not considered a weapon. It's just a cane. And if it's built correctly with the right type of wood, which Mark makes his own canes, all custom made, and these students going to this camp are lucky because in this camp they're actually getting a cane from Mark Shuey as part of the camp, and it's all engraved, very collector's item-wise, with the date of the camp and the number of the camp and the kanji characters that say Saido on the front. It's beautiful. So they actually get to walk away with one of those. But the cane is really important. That's why I chose it as the first specialty to put in our camp. And that's because I'm a baby boomer. And there's a lot of baby boomers out there. And if people don't know, the baby boomer phase was from 1946 to 1964. 46 to 64. Those are the people called baby boomers. It was the largest population explosion in U.S. history. And so, therefore, we still have that. So every day there's approximately 10,000 people turning 65. That's astronomical when you really start calculating that. So we have a gigantic segment of our population right now, and it's going to get bigger every single day, that are baby boomers, that are senior citizens, that are getting older, that are retiring, and unfortunately will have injuries and so forth. So that, I'm so excited about learning that, to get this out to the world. I'm going to be the center California representative for Mark Shuey and continue to teach seminars. I'm going to do a lot of free seminars in the Valley to bring people into these seminars to teach them the basic concept of how to walk with a cane and use it like you're supposed to, but yet if you need it for self-defense, the cane is amazing what you can do.
That's just perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
I mean, It really is. Just to imagine that, like you're saying, you can be on a plane, you can carry it with you anywhere. It's sort of in the olden days, you would think about people with like the eyeglass and the white gloves, and carrying a cane was somebody being distinguished. And it was elegance that went with the cane. And there was a class that went with the cane, sort of your, you know, extolling energy. And to be able to carry a cane and to think, if I'm ever in a state of emergency, this is my weapon. I have this available to me, is just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's just a no-brainer for me. I just, when I looked at it, I thought, this is something I want to learn just for my own self as I get older. I just want to do that. I carry my cane with me all the time now. Ever since I've worked with Mark, I just carry it with me. It has to be start to become part of the extension of your human body, of your arm. And if you're not carrying it, you're not touching it, you're not carrying it around, you start losing the skills to it. So we teach just to have it with us all the time. Here's a real simple way to convey how important, how cool the cane is. Besides it just being non-threatening looking, it could just be a simple cane. If you pick it up and point it straight out with it, the end of it straight out, the cane is approximately, in most canes, about 3 feet, just the shaft. Your arm is about 2 feet. So you just put 5 feet in between you and an opponent instantly by just picking your cane up. 5 feet. Pretty cool.
That's fantastic. I love all of this. And then I guess my next question is the romantic end of the martial arts. You've been in 11
movies. Is this where we cue the music? Does the music change now?
Yes, honey. Absolutely. But, I mean, the fact that you've been in 11 movies, you're like Cary Grant. So the martial arts in the cinema and television. I mean, you think about television shows where some of the best action scenes have martial arts, or because of martial arts, or people are drawn to these movies and stuntmen using the art of martial arts. So can you talk about the why people are so drawn to this in film and television?
Well, like you said, it's developed over the years to kind of moved itself into that, the romantic piece of movies. You know, you've got romance in itself, you got beauty, you got scenery, you've got the music, you have, whether it be an opera, whatever else, the artistry that you can see in movies. Martial arts just fits perfectly in there. So you basically, whether it's a fight scene or whatever, you're having human beings performing with their bodies and doing things that are pretty amazing to watch, just from a human standpoint, to watch what they can do. So I think that's what drums up the excitement, gets people excited to watch the kind of scenes in movies. And I think, if it's done right, you've done movies as well, and it comes down to who can edit it and produce it correctly to where it fits right within the scene, they can be dynamite.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like for you to be on the set and to perform in these movies, to go from the martial arts world to the cinema world?
I tell you, I love making movies. And I have a wonderful agent here, Carolyn DeVore, in town, and she's just been a wonderful person, a friend and mentor for years. And I did do the route down in L.A. and go to a lot of auditions, but found I couldn't do that with the things I'm doing. So I had to step back and recheck reality, and just, you know, it's not like you want to be a big star. And I'm so glad I did, because I love making movies, just making movies and working with really good quality, super talented people. I've had the honor, and I've been so lucky to work with these people. In the Valley, we have such amazing people here behind the camera, and people that write stuff, the editors, the editing skill in movies, I have found that highly respect. You can't find that many people that really know how to edit a movie. So being on a set of a movie, if I could do it as a living, I would too. I would love to do movies as a living, because I think every aspect of the creative things that go along with movies. I remember a couple movies in, maybe it was my second or third movie, the producer director came up to me and said, gee, you know, you're here like all day every day, and you're only doing a scene at 3 o'clock, or you only need to be here in the morning. You know you only need to be here in the morning. But I just started laughing. He goes, and he knew what he was talking to. He was teasing, but he knew I loved movie making. I was working with the lights. I was doing the marker board, you know, for scene, take, you know, action, you know, doing that. I was doing stunt work. I was you know, setting off the little explosions for guns. I was helping with makeup. I did the fight, you know, fight scene choreography. I did stunt driving in some of the movies. I've done everything. I did boom. I've even held the boom in movies. Can I do the boom today? You know, I just love everything about movie making. I just think it's so fun. It's just so fun to create something from nothing.
I love that. And I love that you were on trading cards, too, because I used to remember my brother would have the baseball trading cards and even on three of the Ultimate Combat trading cards.
Yeah, that's...
So you really are.
I think it was back in the 80s
like,
something. Yeah.
You're really a superhero.
Yeah, no.
Like you said just, when you were little, you became the superhero.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it that way. You're right, yeah. I'm on trading cards now. But that was just a fluke and just a fun thing that I got invited to be part of and got to be put on there. And that was kind of cool to go to these big conventions where these kids would have thousands of cards. It was designed after the game Magic. And so this card, you know, cancels that card. If you have that card, you can cancel their card. So they sit across the table. And there's these huge conventions where they play these. And there's grand prize winners and very, very highly intellectual type game. I never studied it well enough to get good at, but I was amazed watching these young kids play Ultimate Combat. It's a very fast-moving card game. And so I just happened to be on three of them, which is fun. So I used to go to those and sit out front and kind of autograph their cards. Whoopee.
From the little boy that sat on the sidelines to watching this incredible sport, to the creation of Saito. And I love, you and I were speaking just a while back, and I would love for you to share with our audience how you came up with the name and how you came up with the logo and how you said this is going to be a combination and a culmination of all of these wild arts brought together into one place of, you know, force and energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, Saito originally was called the Elite Defense System, and because I believed that it was. You have to believe in what you're doing. You know, some people think you're a little bit over the top, but you really should have confidence and believe in what you're doing. Doesn't mean you're not going to learn something new and maybe get better at something and change something, but you have to be committed and believe 100% of what you're doing. And I believed in the Elite Defense System, that it had everything from the stand-up arts to the takedowns to the throws to the weapon disarm to the grappling to everything in it. There's nothing missing. That's why I named it that. But then I wanted to come up with a name that would be more recognizable and would fit within the so-called the Asian type history that we've had from Karate Do to Taekwondo, Hapkido, Harangdo, Aikijujutsu, all the different styles that are out there. So I wanted one simple name. And I had a friend that I've studied with and trained with and became really great, great friends with. I lived in Japan, from Japan. And I asked him to tell me what would that translate into, elite self-defense or elite defense system. What would that elite translate into? And he told me that there's two words in Japanese that kind of sound like elite. But one means academically elite, and the other one means militaristically elite. And, of course, I chose, well, I want the militaristically elite, obviously. And that was Say-A. So Say-A means militaristically elite, or Green Beret, or SEALs, or, you know, that kind of, that top, the top of the best of the best, right? And then, of course, Do at the end is, most people know that as the way. Do, most people would say, means the way. Like in Taekwondo, if you break it down, it actually means foot, hand, way, or the way of the hand and feet, and so forth, and all the different. So most arts have Do at the end. It's the way of whatever is in front of it, whatever the word is in front of it. So therefore, Say-A-Do is the way of the elite. And then what I learned when I was working on developing a new logo with the Japanese characters in it, and had wonderful, wonderful privilege to work with a guy, a Grandmaster Honda was his name. He lived here in Fresno, of all places. I couldn't believe it. He was supposedly the first topped Grandmaster level calligraphy guy in the United States, and he lived here in Fresno. I couldn't wait to meet him. We sat in the house, just me and him in the front room. I'll never forget. I explained to him what I was trying to do, and he actually wrote out, freehanded all my calligraphy for me. And when we were talking about the word dough, and I was trying to explain to him why I came up with the word Saedo, and I said, the way, you know, dough, the way. And he turned to me, and I got goosebumps when he told me this. He says, well, dough, yeah, it means the way. He goes, but literally, really, that word actually means path of mastery. And that was one of those aha moments when your head explodes. It's like, whoa, no one ever told me that. So ever since, I'll never forget that changed my whole view on the word dough. It's not just the way. It's the path of mastery, or the path of mastering what's in front of the word dough. So now, say a dough really means, I've tried to educate my populace or my students, that say a dough means the elite path of mastery, because that's what say a dough is. And if you look at the logo, there's meanings in the logo. It's a big round red circle, which has a lot to do with sacrifice, because in martial arts, if you've been an instructor at any level or you've been in martial arts for a long time, there's so much sacrifice in martial arts. You have to give up of your time. You have to give up yourself to help others. It's a constant giving world. So red is so symbolic to me as sacrifice. You have to make sacrifice to become good. So red, the red circle is a sacrifice. And in the middle, I have a white swoosh. And that was actually created with a calligraphy brush. I went down and picked up, bought one, and got the right paper and got the black ink. And I sat at my kitchen table, and I did a few swooshes until I found one I liked. And the one that's on my logo is actually the one I did in black, and I just turned it into white. And why it goes in that circular motion is like a half circle that's moving. It shows movement and flow. Is the message is that you're always moving, that we're always evolving, that we're always learning. That's that path. That's that path of mastery. So then in the center of the red circle, there's a red dot. Excuse me, it's a white dot. And it's a perfect round white dot. The meaning behind that is through the sacrifice and through this constant movement, this constant evolution, we should have a goal. And we should be focused on a goal. So I put that there in the center so that we know we're moving to something, whether it's to be a better person, whether it's to have a better temperament, whether it's to be better at giving, whether it's to be better martial artist, be better at techniques, get in better shape. There's so much we can work towards in that white dot. That's where we're heading. Everything goes into that white dot, and white stands for purity. So as we're traveling that way, we're purifying ourselves upon that evolutionary journey. And on top of the white dot, of course, are the kanji characters, say, a, and do. And each one of those, I could tell you a whole story about what they mean, broken down. And I love to do that. I usually do that in the camp. I'll set everybody down on the mat, and I'll explain to them the meaning between all the little lines that they see in there. And that's kind of fun to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, say, a, do, the elite path of mastery is truly the way, and I am so honored and so privileged that you are with us today, and I'd love for you once more to share on your upcoming camp, as well as how people can find the camps internationally and your online programming, because what a brilliant way for people to step into the mastery of themselves.
Yeah. Say Ado would be the best site right now to get information on the camp itself. There's still room in the camp if someone wants to go. The Hall of Fame event that's taking place, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, Sunday, October 12th, that is pretty close to being sold out. If you want to get a ticket, you need to do that right away. But all of that can be found at sayado.org, and again, that's S. E-I-E-I-D-O. So if you think of the old rhyme, you know, old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. Well, I just tell people, just think of Master Johnson. Old Master Johnson had a dojo. E-I-E-I-D-O. So it's S-S-E-I-E-I-D-O. www.unlimitedlife.org, and that'll give you all the information. I have about 150 domains that point there. I have hallofmasters.com. Then you have themasterjohnson.com, but say ado.org, if you can remember that one. Go there and get a ticket if you want to go to the Hall of Fame. You got to get on it right away because Sunday night's a cutoff. I have to turn in all the orders for the catered dinner. So, but would love to have as many people there as possible. If you want to go to the camp and you're listening and you can go to the camp and meet these people from all over the world, that if there's any way to go, I would go. You do not want to miss an opportunity like this. We don't do these only once a year, and we never know where we're going to put them and who's going to host them and what country I'm going to be in. So you don't want to miss it. If there's a way to go, you want to go. And the other thing to do I would suggest to stay in touch with what's happening with the Elite Path to Mastery, with the International Sado Federation, all the stuff we're doing, is to stay in touch with me through the Facebook. And if you just type in Soke Dave Johnson, which is S-O-K-E, Soke means father, founder, leader, head of a system. There's a lot of debate on that. That word is a Japanese word, but we use it as the founder of that system, which is Sado. S-O-K-E, Soke. Soke Dave Johnson. You'll find me immediately on Facebook. And would love to have you be a friend, and I'll communicate with you that way and keep you up to date.
Mm-hmm. Well, Grandmaster Soke Dave Johnson, it is an honor to have you here. And thank you for this amazing information and this incredible, beautiful sport that you have created, artistic movement, and truly a way into one's heart, a way into one's body and power and soul, and a three-second process be able to make sure that you are safe in all of these different ways, from children up to this 80-year-old woman who is able to use these tools and techniques to better their lives and center their lives.
And even beautiful, amazing, multi-talented dames like Dame Nicole Brand, they even study Sado, and they're going to the camp, and they're going to be involved. That's how cool these things are.
Thank you. And I am so excited to be there and to be part of it. And I shared with you before, and I'm happy to say this to our audience around the world, I've been in the physical movement world since I began. I mean, I was walking. I never crawled, never once. Even the doctors went crazy and said to my parents, we've never seen a baby that doesn't crawl, just gets up and walks. And so I've been in the physical mastery world from several months old, and I've watched people train in the fitness world, in the fitness industry, and through the body and through mastery throughout the world, and I've never seen somebody that can train the way that you train. It is remarkable. It is seat edging and awestruck to be able to watch you teach. And the way in which you convey information is so beautiful and so brilliant and so seamless and effortless. And so for anybody that's listening, if you have an opportunity to study with Soke Dave Johnson, Grandmaster, go to these camps. It's an opportunity absolutely not to be missed. So thank you so much for being with us. I look forward to seeing you at the camp and at the Hall of Fame. And I thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom with us today.
Great. And then would there be recordings where people can log on later and watch or listen to this that missed it?
Absolutely. If you just send a text message to 55678 and the message is Nicole, you can download today's show on any mobile device.
Message is Nicole 55678.
Right. You're just sending a text to 55678, and the message is simply Nicole. And it automatically downloads into your email, into your phone, into your iPad, whatever you'd like to listen to.
Cool. I'm going to post that because I know that a lot of students wouldn't be able to maybe listen at this time, would love this show, listen to the interview.
Absolutely. So thank you for being with us, and we so look forward to having you back with us again.
Right, and I'll see you in a few days.
All right, I look forward to it. Wow, what a beautiful guest. What a beautiful show. So it's a great question, 55678. The message is simply Nicole. You can get a copy of today's show or any of our archive shows And don't forget, we are now on the DKRN network on Monday evenings. Our new show is Passionate Living. And to listen to DKRN, all you simply do is DKRN.fm, and it will automatically, you'll see an arrow, you'll be able to play it live from any mobile device. So we are thrilled to be part of the DKRN Network Challenge. Everything Monday night, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. on Eastern Time. And for Nicole Brandon, for Grandmaster Soki Dave Johnson, we both wish you an amazing, amazing day, an amazing week. We look forward to having you back here with us again, and truly to launch you into an unlimited life. Thank you for being with us.